This episode of The View from the Rock is brought to you by the following sponsors. Signdog Northwest. They're your source for custom signs, banners, boat names, fleet graphics, and more. Custom design services available. That was a mighty yawn there. This also is brought to you by Merle Inc., the premier custom home builder in the Clee Ellium area and a proud featured home builder in Suncadia.
Clee Ellium.
Tumble Creek.
We better start. Yeah,
we're off to a great start. Okay. No, I'm powering through.
Yeah, okay. Let's go.
And last but not least, Rob Thomas Drywall, the number one drywall company in Ellensburg and Kittitas County.
And not Matchbox 21.
Welcome to the View from the Rock podcast. As you can tell, we are live out here at Kamado Island still. If I had stopped that intro, we would have never gotten it. I was going to laugh every single time. So you got a real intro with everyone in it. Speaking of everyone, I'm Ruck. That was Swap and Morgie that you heard there in our little brand-sponsored intro. And in this episode, we are going to be discussing the top three. Okay. You can't see what's going on here, but we got Morgie here who's pointing at a bee on the window, and Swap's looking everywhere at that. Anyways, we are talking about top three Led Zeppelin songs and just Led Zeppelin in general. And we're talking about the top three tacos that exist. This is going to be a pretty free-flowing conversation because I think that, you know, there's maybe less research involved with this one. We are just, as Swap would say, free-balling it.
Yes.
Swap, how are we doing?
I'm doing good. It's kind of a miracle I'm here right now. There was an incident with a chair.
That's true. Near-death experience.
I sat in a deck chair and leaned back to enjoy the sun, and the chair exploded.
Disintegrated.
As I look at it now, it's a miracle I'm alive. Look at that chair.
It could have gouged you.
It did, on my back and my leg.
I just found a bunch of blood on my leg. So what the?
Ruck's bleeding right now.
What the heck?
You probably touched that chair.
Oh my gosh.
Anyways. Are you okay?
No, I'm good. You know, those chairs, that's one of those plastic Adirondack chairs. Those are the worst. I've broken so many of those.
Yeah, I think if they don't have a weight limit, they probably should.
I'm surprised that they haven't been sued, to be honest.
Well, maybe they will be.
It was nice to see you laying down.
Yeah, the back was intact. So once I hit the ground, there was a few minutes where I was in a comfortable position. But I do have a large scrape on my back and an open wound on my leg. But
seen it.
I'm here.
There was a moment there where you laid in the sun for about 10 minutes after the fall because you were waiting for Jason to notice that happened.
And yeah.
I looked through the window and saw it was breathtaking.
Yeah.
I watched you sitting there.
Hey, Jason.
I don't think Jason's sound is on.
Yeah, what's going on? Did you like unplug yourself? Right there? Yeah. Can you push that in maybe? Try talking into it.
No.
No. Well, that's fun.
We might need to start this one over.
No, I refuse. Give me a mic check.
Can you?
Yeah, you're good now.
Interesting.
We also had some.
That was from the board, correct?
It might be, yeah. I mean, I'm still going to blame you.
Okay. I think we're okay now.
So I can, everything I said, you couldn't hear.
No, we haven't heard anything till now, I think.
All right. Well, Swap, you were fun laying on the ground on the deck.
Yeah.
For a couple minutes.
Do you want to talk about the meat that we cooked?
Oh, we had some beautiful meats for like a happy hour mid-lunch. Some Portuguese sausage I brought from Hawaii.
It's excellent.
A nice pre-cooked ham steak from Costco.
Some brats.
And then
some bacon.
Follow that with bacon, and I left the grill to bring everything else in.
It didn't look great. So the thing that we were cooking on got way too hot, way too quick. It was kind of coming up to temperature slowly. It's a giant outdoor charcoal cooking apparatus like no one has ever seen before. And when you put your meat on first, it wasn't quite hot enough, I felt.
Yes.
So I probably put too many charcoals in at that point, too many briquettes. And then all of a sudden, it was a raging inferno. And then I felt like we needed some bacon on there to add some grease so that it could, you know, kind of season the cast iron. Too hot.
Yeah.
Bacon, black.
Bacon went burnt to a point of...
unedible.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's a good base for a round two.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. And round two's, I think, going to be some smash burgers, maybe. Something like that.
That sounds amazing.
Wow. I mean, Jason said that he wanted to try the smash burgers, so
yeah,
here we are.
All right, what are we going to get into?
Well, you told us that, didn't you have something happen yourself with some sort of grease fire swap?
Yeah, a couple years ago, maybe 5 years ago. I think it was before COVID. You know, there's pre-COVID and post-COVID. We were in Winthrop, Coach Brent's house with Mr. Johnston and the families, and did bacon on the grill on foil. I was very reluctant. It was August, the dry season in the Metal Valley. And just as the bacon was done to a perfect crisp, there was a, I'm going to use this word again, I used it the last episode, a slight aperture in the foil, and the grease went down below the foil, and immediate grease fire.
And this was on a propane, or is this a charcoal?
It was propane. So I had visions of explosions and things.
But you didn't turn the propane off.
Yes.
We did, but it still continued to.
Oh.
Yeah. Burn. So you're going to have to use
baking soda?
Yeah.
Yeah, we thought there for a while, you know, water is your first reaction, but you know, in the back of your mind you're thinking water.
Did you close the
Close the lid.
And that,
it's still.
I know. I had one in my house.
It was out of control. I mean, yeah. it was very scary. But then we did baking soda that put it out.
Yeah.
But it was scary.
Grease fires. Yeah. Nothing to be messed with. Same with oil fires. You know, you got to be careful when you got all that. It's another flammable. Next up, we got some boat watching. What's been going on out here in front of us so far?
There's a kayaker. Maybe
there's two.
Yeah, two. They might be family members. Not sure.
We saw two jet skiers.
Jet skiers?
Yes, they were.
We did?
Yeah.
I do not recall that.
Yep, they were going north. And then we just saw a boat come in close.
Dangerously close. I thought it might be El Chapo.
Really buzzed the tower here.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to drop some pots or something.
Probably a 28-foot, I won't know the name of it, but outboard. Nice-looking boat. And not a yacht, because under 40 foot is a boat.
Here comes another one.
Oh, yeah, he's coming.
Yep.
Yeah, we're going to have to give an update on that later.
Oh, whatever, you guys can suck it.
Hey, so the last thing on our list of things to discuss, now that summer is here, I like to refer to my summers, by the way, as every time school is done, it's now the summer of John, because that's actually my first name, John. Just like in Seinfeld, the summer is a time where I can, you know, taste the fruit and let the juices run down my chin, as George Costanza would say.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's a great analogy.
So what do we got going for our summers, the summer of Pat and the summer of Jason?
Well, what do you got on the agenda, Mr. Morgenthaler?
We got team camp this weekend.
Yep.
High school?
Basketball, yeah.
Yep.
At Western, that's Saturday through Tuesday.
And then I've got Thursday through Sunday in the Yakima Valley.
For?
SELA.
Baseball-related things.
High school baseball.
Yeah.
Yep.
And now that Coach Schwab is in the Hall of Fame, he has to go every year. Or he's kind of obligated to.
Well, I don't like to talk about myself.
So this thing that you're going to
talk about you. So he got inducted into the Hall of Fame last year for baseball, for the state. So now it's an annual thing in Yakima, and he should go if he's available.
So is this sort of like the Washington State Baseball Coaches Association
That's exactly what it is.
Like, is it a clinic or is it just...
They have a banquet every year that coincides with the Allstate game.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Gotcha. So Allstate game, and then this is where they would hand out awards for like Coach of the Year and then Hall of Fame inductions.
Yeah.
And then if you're in the Hall of Fame, you are expected to be there.
Correct.
Big time.
Yeah.
With your outfit.
Yeah.
Did you set the record for the youngest coach to make it into the Baseball Hall of Fame?
I don't know, but I'm not young.
I feel like most coaches, once they enter the Hall of Fame, are quite old. And you're not that.
Well, I don't know if I'm old. I'm older than you.
That's not hard.
No.
It's going to be a great weekend.
It's going to be a good weekend. We've got...
You're not that old.
Well, you know...
I don't think you're old.
Thank you.
No, I don't think you're old.
There are moments where you say stuff like, that's a toe tapper, and then you sound really old. But
yeah.
You don't,
I felt old an hour ago when that chair blew up underneath me.
I'm going to be one-tenth closer to 50.
One-tenth.
In a week.
So and I'll you are the 26th?
Plus one.
27th.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that means that you're going to be 49.
Yep.
Is that what you're saying?
Okay. Yeah.
Is this a number you're not looking forward to? Are you afraid of turning 50?
Not at all.
Okay.
I'm not that guy, like friends of mine.
There's not going to be any sort of midlife
like
crisis
Sean,
that happens.
Buddy, my buddy Sean in Oregon, big worm. He thought he was dying because he turned 50. I'm like, well, you're not dying. He just, it is what it is.
Yeah.
It's a number. It's how you feel. It's how you operate. Like I'm ready to go. I'm just so excited about pickleball.
You got a big tournament this weekend.
Yep, this Sunday.
Strawberry Festival.
Strawberry Cup.
Strawberry Cup in Marysville, right?
Do you know where you play?
Jennings Park.
Jennings Park. I've been to Jennings Park.
Never been there.
Yeah, I've been to Jennings Park, right there in downtown Marysville.
They say parking is awful.
It's outdoor.
Yes.
Not covered.
Yes, and it's supposed to be 80.
Ooh.
So I'm bringing an umbrella.
Are you going to play in your hat?
No. I am playing with my headband on and lots of sunscreen.
Yeah.
Oof.
Oh.
That paddle's going to get slippery.
I got a new paddle.
Well, I know, but you're going to have to like get some sort of stick 'em, put it on your arm there, mix
pine
with
tar.
A little lotion.
Gaylord Perry-ish?
Yeah.
Get some pine tar.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, I've got a
stick.
They
don't check for that.
Well, no. I mean,
do they? Are substances legal?
Have never heard. We might have to ask Teresa or Derek or any of the crew.
Yeah,
I mean, hot, sweaty
cold,
like that.
Stone Cold Killer. By the way, we played the other night again. She's just a killer.
Yeah,
and she's the nicest killer you've ever met.
That's what makes it worse.
Yeah.
She seems like she'd be a real spider monkey out there. Just covering a lot of ground, getting to shots she shouldn't get
to. Her and her husband, Corey, they beat Derek and I. And just it is what it is. And they were better than us that day. But she's a freaking killer.
So she's the one that carries that team?
You said that. I did not.
Yeah, we don't want to say that. We played, on a snow day, we played this year in the gym.
Yep.
Yeah, she's really good.
They're all good.
I find that I have a tough time seeing indoors.
Yeah, it's bad. The middle school is awful.
The lighting.
So now I have to juggle do I wear my sunglasses while I'm playing?
Indoors.
No, this Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
The weather's
sunglasses.
Gonna be, I know.
So you don't play till Sunday?
Correct.
And so that's 3.5?
We're doing, yes, 3.5.
Okay.
So I'm going to stay 3.5 until I win a tournament. And if I never win a tournament, then I'm 3.5.
And you were 3.5 up in Bellingham last time, right?
Correct. And we took fifth, Brad and I. Can't forget about Brad. He's been gone. He's having fun in Austin.
Oh, what?
Oh, yeah. He's been there for a week.
He better be getting some good barbecue there.
I had a great hot dog once in Austin.
Mm. I mean, Texas knows how to do the all the barbecue, all the meat correctly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are we ready for top three Led Zeppelin songs? And just a larger conversation about Led Zeppelin.
Yeah. Let's get into it.
Okay. So why did we choose Led Zeppelin to talk about?
Well, I think, you know, looking at musical genres, what episode is this for us? 30?
Probably total. This season's probably 15 or 16.
Yeah, 30 total.
So we're getting to a point where it's difficult to find a genre to talk about. It really is. So we've started to focus on bands. You know, I know years, and I think we couldn't get too far down the road without talking about Zeppelin. I mean, they're arguably the greatest rock band, right, of all time.
I mean, I would say so. Like, I just pulled up on my phone, a streaming service generated a playlist titled "Essentials of Led Zeppelin," and I look at this list of 25 songs. There's only one song that I am unfamiliar with.
What is it?
The Ocean.
Oh, oh yeah. Yeah.
See, so I should have heard that, but
yeah. You've heard it.
You'd recognize it.
You just don't know the name of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The rest of them, not only have I heard of them, but they're all, I mean, they're bangers. They are songs that absolutely rock.
So Zeppelin 1, you're on there, Ruck.
Yeah.
Was that 1968?
You know, we actually had this conversation a little earlier that we probably have already said something about this, but we've talked about Led Zeppelin so much, we weren't sure if we've already done this sort of thing. 1969.
Okay. And then, that was their self-named album. And then Zeppelin 2, Zeppelin 3, Zeppelin 4. And I think, I want to say Zeppelin 4 was 71.
Yeah, so that, you know, kind of relating back to the Beatles, different time. So 1969 is Led Zeppelin 1, 1969 is Led Zeppelin 2. So same year, two albums, both incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Then we go 1970, Led Zeppelin 3, then 71, Zeppelin 4. A couple years off, Houses of the Holy, 1973. Physical Graffiti, 1975.
Which we brought that up before on albums and album covers.
Yeah.
Because that's the one with the apartment building. You know, a kind of an iconic album cover.
I imagine that when these bands got started back then, it must have been sort of a, they are becoming famous as they release these albums in the very beginning. And so they're probably, I don't know if I would say touring less, but like going less distances for longer periods of time. So their ability to record new songs, I imagine, has got to be peak when they're starting out and everything's fresh. So I imagine that's partly why we get so many songs and albums at the start, and then it starts to slow down and become that sort of one album every 2 years
mm-hmm.
common release schedule.
That was kind of how the 70s were. Like late 60s, 70s, you put out album, a lot of songs. Now they do one song, you know, like
yeah.
The early 90s. They do one song, then another, and
so
they had so many.
Do you remember, like, I think it was 1990, Zeppelin came out with a box set. You guys remember that? And
so,
I felt like it was, you know, kind of the first of the groups that came out with box sets.
Yeah, of like all their hits.
All their stuff.
Yeah.
And I remember driving to the Rose Bowl. So it was the year the Huskies played Iowa. So it was the year before they won the national championship. I drove to the Rose Bowl with Jeremy McKinley. And the box set was cassettes, because I'm old. And we listened to that box set the whole way down and back.
Wow. I'm trying to look online, and I can't see releases of
box sets,
that sort of thing. I can see like compilations of theirs where they're combining songs and probably adding some new ones onto it.
So 2002, 2003 was the last time they played together. It was in London.
But this is without John Bonham.
Correct.
Because he died, I think, in 1980.
Yes. So, but this is the last time that they are playing together, and it was Jason Bonham as the drummer, John's son.
Yeah.
and they have like the DVDs and the CDs. I wanted to go, but it was like $2,500 was the cheapest ticket. Because they announced, this is the last time we will ever sing a concert. So it's, I think it's Celebration Day, if you look it up.
Okay.
And it was amazing. Like, the last time that there will be together. It is. And so they had two concerts in London. So I have the CDs and the DVDs. So I think it's Celebration Day.
So they're live albums.
Correct. Live.
It's So 2012 is Celebration Day.
Oh.
2003 is How the West Was Won.
So 2012.
Yeah.
But they were super bluesy when they started. Like, a lot of their stuff was super bluesy. And then you could see as they went on and expanded into different sounds.
Yeah. They're mixed between blues, jazz, and rock, and going back and forth between them. And also, you know, acoustic sort of folk sounds for whatever song I was just playing.
Oh, Over the Hills and Far Away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, really great, what they would call a lick, like a guitar lick, in that song. I think that part of their appeal is how good they were at showing so many different kinds of musical sounds. Like, there was kind of something for everybody.
What are some, if we went to do a top three for each of us, even though this isn't our top three, what would we go with for Zeppelin?
Well, if we're going top three, I think my number three is probably going to be Kashmir.
Mm. Do you have a little sample of that for us?
I think I might have a little sample, and we'll see if, you know, we get kicked off the air and never able to come back again. If we have to go over the hills and far, far away. Okay. Let's see. I'm going to play this quick.
And I have someone just texting in that says, oh, are we the view from the beach today?
Oh, wow. Is that other one uploaded?
No.
Okay.
That won't go out till
Sunday. Showed him a photo. That was Coach AJ.
Oh, yeah.
Coach AJ, we have that beer that you like. We're going to give it to you.
Okay, I realized what was going on. I turned off the sound of my phone while we're talking. That way, when I'm messing around on it, I'm not accidentally playing something. So here we go. Here's Kashmir. So I'll just play that quick little snippet.
That was about 1,000.
I don't know.
We can get 3,000.
I don't know what just happened, but that was the first time we have, can I even say, played music on View from the Rock?
Yeah. That was 3 seconds worth.
Yeah.
I definitely knew it before, but I distinctly remember this song was played. I'm looking. Wow.
Inappropriate text message
from your wife. Yeah, of course.
After she just saw our nice photos from the view from the beach.
What a sweetheart. So I distinctly remember when the first new Godzilla movie came out, and I think Matthew Broderick was in it, or Matthew Perry, one of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
This was like one of the main songs they played was Kashmir. It was like, I don't know if I would say Godzilla's walkout song, but couldn't have picked a better song. It's very slow and brooding, and then has these guitar riffs and letdowns in the middle of it that just kick butt. And we've got a bunch of different times where they change the timing in it. I would say like maybe go half as fast. A lot of variety in that song.
So, Mr. Morgenthaler, what's your number three?
Dazed and Confused. So hold on a second. Been dazed and confused for so long, it's not true. See, we can't go long enough for them to listen.
I know. We're toying.
Wanted a woman, never bargained for you.
I just played 8 seconds of that. So
no, you did not.
I absolutely
that did not seem like 8 seconds.
Yeah. I could probably try to skip ahead and see if I can get to the part where they're actually going to say some words, but that's dicey. I'm going to try it right now.
All
right.
He's going to try.
Yeah.
No.
It's all random.
It's good stuff. It's right after that.
Yeah.
I know.
That's true.
We're experimenting with new medium right now.
Yeah, we'll see. You may never hear this podcast because there are snippets being played to educate our listeners. So what about that song in particular do you like, Dazed and Confused?
I like the initial riffs in the beginning.
John Paul Jones on bass.
Oh, it's different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they just go from waves of, there could be a little bit of Southern, like it just, everything. Like you look at like what happened to the 90s grunge. McCready and all them, they look at Zeppelin.
And, you know,
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, to compare him to another English band that's going on similar time, Pink Floyd, like, I feel like they're a tighter, more focused sound, but they have so much of the same just psychedelia, different stuff all over the place, combining genres, yet they are... Their ability to go somewhere with the song quick enough that they don't lose my attention, it separates them from Pink Floyd.
It blows my mind how the influence they have on everyone.
Yeah.
And just how do you come up with that?
I know. And the intros are so powerful. And then Robert Plant comes in with the vocals and he can, it's like Cornell, I've said before, when he comes in on some of the songs.
So like that, I get a little bit of Bad Motor Finger from that song.
Yeah.
And for those of you who don't recognize when we say Cornell, we're talking about Chris Cornell, the late singer of Audioslave and...
Soundgarden,
thank you. Who was an incredible part of the grunge era. An incredible voice. Yeah. You got another song for us? Swap, or you haven't told
number
us
two,
song yet.
Or
you got a
number
three.
I don't know if I did a number three.
I don't think so because I haven't played a song for you.
Do you have Going to California on there?
I do.
Was that yours?
Nope.
I think Going to California. This is when you talk about like a little folksy kind of. Yeah, a little Peckerwood music.
I'm not sure if we can say it, but this is also another song that slow. It starts slow. A lot of these do. So we'll see what we can even hear. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would love to play the rest of that because he's going to California with an aching in his heart.
Yeah.
That's such a good song.
Man.
I love how, like, when you look at their albums, this is a long time ago. It's not like these are being made with these new digital art abilities that we now have. But like just the depth and coloration of like that album, there's so much going on there. Such a collage. Anything in particular? I know you already said a little bit about it. Anything else you wanted to say about Going to California, Swap?
Well, it's just another one where the vocals come in and you just, the build on a lot of these songs, Dazed and Confused is another one. The buildup is so amazing. And then you're just never disappointed by the way Robert Plant comes in with vocals.
Yeah.
Like he just kills it every time.
Absolutely. Well, my second song, if I'm doing a top three for Led Zeppelin, is another different sound in the beginning. You know, we're going to keep saying that, but it really is true each time and shows you their depth of their music, their variety. This one is Misty Mountain Hop for my number two. I'd love to keep... They break down right after that, and then they bring the drums in there, and it freaking smashes. I love that song. It's so good. And, again, so different than the other stuff, like super sort of jazzy, poppy sort of sound to it, kind of funk a little bit. It sounds like, you know, a song that you could really dance to, almost.
Yep.
What do you got for us, Jason?
So I was... What... I fell in love with Zeppelin was because of John Bonham. Because my uncle Steve was a drummer. And he got me going. And the, one of the first songs ever, and I still love it, is When the Levee Breaks.
Yeah.
If it keeps on raining, levee's going to break.
I guess, yeah, that's true.
Damn right it will. Yeah.
Hey, and that's my number one. So
oh.
Well, we're going to play that for both of us right now.
So can we play 10 seconds?
Well, I was going
to
say.
But listen to...
the harmonica.
Yes.
I wish I could play more. Wish I could play more.
So now we can play the second part of the 5 seconds for yours.
Mm. Right.
Right?
No, Ruck's worried about the FCC shutting us down.
F the FCC.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's going to help. I'm going to just skip ahead just to 25, and we'll see what's going on there in this song. See, it's still the same stuff. It takes forever.
Crying won't help you. Praying won't do you no good. Like, it's amazing. That's a great song.
It is a great song.
Yeah, that's my number one.
Man. So what's your number two?
My number two was Misty Mountain Hop.
Okay. So now we're up to one.
Two. I think I'm on my number two.
Yeah.
Babe, I'm Going to Leave You. I think it's off Zeppelin 2. And this one, you know, so Great White, you know, the 80s hair band, yeah. 90s hair band. We went and saw them and they sucked. Yes. But their original singer.
Slaughter was good.
Slaughter kicked ass. Their original singer, for Great White, Jack Russell, they did a whole album of Zeppelin covers.
Wow.
They called it, I think, Great White Zeppelin or something like that. And it's amazing. Like if you can find that, that'd be amazing. And he did this old school MTV Unplugged. He did Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You. And he was almost as good as Robert Plant.
Well, I've got the Robert Plant version queued up. So which is better?
Almost doesn't count.
I know.
Except for in horseshoes or hand grenades. Oh.
This is such a great intro.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
This is
you can play it until he sings. Play it until he sings.
Robert Plant.
Oh. Play that until he sings.
I might have changed my top three now because of that.
I mean, doesn't that just... that galloping... Goosebumps. Goosebumps.
Oh, goosebumps.
Play it when he sings. Come on, Ruck.
No.
They're not going to kick us off the air.
No, he's not going to do it.
They're not going to kick you off the air.
We can't jeopardize what he has.
Are we flying too close to the sun right now?
I mean, isn't that guy?
Holy crap.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm not going to
play. So you said you're number one. We're going to do a little... 4 seconds more on your number one?
On my number one? No.
S'more?
Four seconds more?
I don't think I'm going to do any more on ours as much as I would like that.
So my number one.
I know what your number one is.
Yeah. No Quarter.
I'll play it.
But it starts out.
And he's got the little, like, faraway voice when he starts to sing.
So can you...
That was 4 seconds, and there's barely anything there. So, like, I'll go further.
Skip.
How far do you think?
No, skip 20 seconds.
Oh, just 20.
Just 20.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm at 30 seconds now.
Okay, go. Oh, nope. You got to go to 45 before they start singing.
I'm going to go to...
Because he has the like the faraway voice going.
Yeah, and then
go to a minute in and see what happens in a minute. It's such a long intro, just like all of their songs.
But that right there just blows your mind.
And then the bass comes in.
Oh,
so good.
Like that's almost like synthesizer with John Paul Jones.
Yes.
Go ahead and skip it just a little more.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to, like, 149.
Okay, go.
Okay.
No, they won't be home tonight.
So that was the second lyric. That just made my day. That was the second lyric.
That made my day.
The first lyric is close the door, put out the light.
That just made my day.
That's a haunting sound in there.
Oh.
It takes so long for them to get into that. That's almost a minute, almost 2 minutes into the song.
So that's probably an 8-minute song.
Says it's 7 minutes. 7 minutes.
Yeah, so like those don't exist anymore because they can't.
Yeah, not too much. Although
like that's like a jam band
Taylor tight. Swift does have a super long song that everyone likes.
Oh my gosh. I love you, but I'm not a monster fan.
You're a closet Swiftie. That's fine. Swapper, I think you got one more left, don't you?
Yeah. So I'm a sucker for Black Dog.
Oh. You didn't tell me that ahead of time.
I know we didn't get to it.
Shoot. Okay. I'm going to try to find it live right now. They're using hand motions around me to try to signal. I'm going to play this song.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this is a classic.
You're going to run it.
I got to stop it.
Gonna make you move. Da, da, da,
da, da, yeah. The drums when they come in there.
I'm sorry, but everyone should experience Zeppelin at some point in their life just to hear a few songs.
Dude, it freaking rocks.
It doesn't matter if you don't like rock or anything. Just to hear music. That's good.
If you really like music, you'd have to like Zeppelin. At least to be able to listen to them and appreciate them. You don't have to listen to them all the time, but you've got to have some enjoyment when you hear some of their stuff. We went through each of our top three Led Zeppelin songs, and coming up next, we have our beer of the week. So that'd be our beer of Camino Island, actually from a brewery here on the island called Ale Spike Brewery. And we'll be talking about that next after the break, along with what our top three tacos are. I don't think we ever said in the beginning of the show what we actually were going to talk about, did we?
No.
I feel like we had our laughing hysterics that I knew we just needed to push through, as painful as that was. It does show you, though, that we don't actually edit this show. Whatever happens, happens. So we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the View from the Rock podcast. We are still out here at the beach for the final part of our last episode here, The Calm Shores of Henning Beach. We talked about Led Zeppelin so far. We talked about Swap's Grease Fire. We were on Boat Watch. A little summer outlook, although I don't know how far we got with that. But just, you know, we burned some bacon, Swap fell in his chair, and we played you some Led Zeppelin, which, I don't know, maybe we'll get in trouble for.
Hey, I'm just waiting because there are a few members of listeners that want to know, are you going to Australia ever?
No. What? Why would they ask that now? My brother doesn't live there anymore.
Well, they didn't know that, maybe.
Oh, gotcha. Well,
because you were going to go maybe a week ago last year.
Yeah, that's right. I had some thoughts of going to Australia because my brother lived there in Perth, middle of nowhere, and...
That's not true.
It is in the middle of nowhere. It's like a 20-something hour journey to get there.
Yeah, but it's amazing.
I'm not saying it's not great. It's not worth going to. Definitely could have went. Maybe should have went. Not going now. Maybe one day if my brother goes back there. He lives in the Bay Area now, though.
My best friend from college lives there. Yeah. He's from there.
So, yeah, he's in the Bay Area now. So maybe that's my summer plan is I'll head down to San Fran, see what's going on. Our beer of the week this week is Don't Worry About It, Hazy IPA from Ale Spike, Camino Island Brewing. It is a 7.9% alcohol by volume, and it doesn't say much about what it tastes like. When I looked up online on Untappd, this beer, it did tell us what was in it, if I can... Find.
Drink fresh, keep cold.
Yeah.
It says on the can.
So on Untappd, it's categorized as a New England / hazy IPA. It says its grains are 2-row, oat malt, and caramel 30. Hops are Cashmere, Brew 1, and Sabro.
Do you have any idea how they... distinguish the names of hops, like Cashmere? Does that mean like it's from maybe Cashmere? Because I know like Yakima is number one hops in the world, correct? Were they
I don't know. I don't know. I think it's just like you name a plant, you name a hop.
Yeah, I don't have any idea. I mean, if you discover it, you create your own strain. I imagine you can name it whatever you want. So, I mean, I'm sure in some cases it could be about location.
I'm not sure.
Like yeah. we are right now. It's all about the location. Yeah. It's amazing. Looking out of the water. We see a kayaker right now going by us.
Yeah, a lot of kayakers out today.
Two kayakers.
There was two earlier. Yeah.
And a couple we've singles. Seen three boats and two jet skis.
All day.
You know, I had this one previously, and I don't feel like it tastes the same as when I had it last time. It's fine.
Yeah, this is good beer.
I don't... It's got a weird
it's
flavor.
It's average.
Yeah.
The first taste I took out of it was not good.
I think it's good. I like it. It's a one.
You know, I'm glad there's a brewery on the island. I've had some of their stuff before, and I thought it was better than the one I'm currently tasting. So, if you find yourself on Kameo Island, I think it's a pretty small brewery. Probably only open Thursday through Sunday or something like that. And I think it's a late open time, like 3 to 7. And they got a little outdoor beer garden. But haven't been there actually myself. You can also get it at the Baked Cafe and have yourself a great burger there too.
Very so, nice.
Yeah, it's an all right beer. What might you have with it if you're going to have this again?
I think I'd have a nice taco.
Well, oh. I'll be damned.
That sounds good.
That's what we're going to be talking about right now. We're going to be talking about our top three tacos. And since I didn't ask any of you, and I normally ask you who wants to go first, I'll just go first, unless someone interrupts me. My number three taco, my list of top tacos, I'll put as carnitas.
Ooh.
Which would be a pork carnita. So basically you cook it. First you would need to marinate it, and you would do that with some orange juice and some different things like that that are, you know, Mexican spices, cumin, whatnot. Then you would slow roast it.
I'm sweating already.
You'd slow roast it like you would a pulled pork. Now, here's the great part about it. Once you chop it up.
Pull it, if you will.
Pulled, yeah. I don't know if you have to cook it quite as long, but you still got to cook it for a while. Then the cool part about it is you're going to take all of that with all of its nice fat that's rendered out, and you're going to put that right back on the grill, and you're going to kind of fry that up in its own fat.
Crisp it up.
Yeah, exactly. And then then you've got carnitas.
Ooh.
Wow.
I might have convinced myself that's my number one.
That's your number three?
I know, right?
Man. Holy crap.
Man.
My number three is a good old traditional ground beef taco, but I'm trying to decide. Lately, I've been doing the hard shell with Rowan.
Yeah.
But I love a good soft shell. So what I do with the soft shell is a little brown on the, and then I put all sour cream. I do a little cheese.
Yeah.
And then a little salsa. And then some onion. Then I put the meat on. And then I do the same thing all over again.
What do you put the meat on last?
It's not last. It's middle. And then I do a little more cheese and tomatoes, some more guac, some more sour cream, some more
this sounds salsa. Like a burrito. There's a lot of stuff on
but
there.
That's a ground beef taco.
So,
and then I wrap it to where it's like when you were born.
Okay. I think you perfectly described a burrito.
But it's a ground beef taco.
That's
what is it? Hey, somebody help me here.
What is a taco?
What's the difference between a burrito and a taco if you're having a soft taco? Is it that it's not folded at the end?
Yeah, it's not wrapped.
Okay.
Okay, then I won't wrap it.
It's flat. You grab it like this. On the two sides, you pull it up, and it's, you know, a half circle at that point.
That's just my preference. On doing the swaddle, so it's okay.
That's the white boy taco.
I don't want it to grease down my hand.
Yeah,
like the family that happens. Like when my dad eats a taco, he's like, "A good taco is when my hand is dripping with grease," because he didn't swaddle the end. Like my goal now is to not have any grease. So can I swaddle the end?
You can do it how you want. I'm just saying.
So then it becomes a burrito?
I mean,
I don't know.
I guess maybe the only other difference is there's probably some rice and beans in a burrito as well. Hopefully not too much, but some.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a taco is not going to have rice and beans.
Correct.
Now, I'll give you a pass and say sure. I guess okay, you could well have a taco that you've rolled up.
The hard shell is good. Because Rowan's been, so I'll have a hard shell with him.
Okay. Do you and just I'll, eat them straight out of the bag or do you have to heat them up?
No, we heat them up.
Good.
Yeah. And then same thing, but I run out of room.
Yeah, because it's a taco, not a burrito.
No, but a taco can be a soft shell. Jesus. Or excuse my language.
Jeepers.
A soft shell can be a taco.
Yeah, I think the difference is it's not folded at the end. But when I do a soft
taco. According to Rock, it doesn't have rice and beans.
When I do a soft taco, I fold it at the end. But I don't know if it's completely enclosed, though. It's just finessed so that I don't get grease down the arm.
See?
Yes.
That's why.
Hey, you live your life.
But if we're going crisp.
Sorry. No, that's number three. It's okay.
Yeah, you're fine.
I didn't say no.
We can swaddle it all we want.
I said go for it.
And I swaddle it tight. Okay. Just like the kids when we were growing up. Like, Brennan was an anti-swaddler.
I never could do that fold. I never figured that out. I can fold a taco.
I did so tight, and he would always get out when he was growing up.
Yeah.
So, Ruck, the first 4 months, 6 months of your life, you're a swaddler or you're an anti-swaddler for a kid?
I don't know what I was.
Like,
just a great
you
baby.
Tight. Like, you wrap them up, and they sleep well.
I'm guessing that I was either an anti-swaddler or... There was a challenge. They were challenged to swaddle me well because I was a giant baby. And probably the bigger they are, the harder they are to swaddle.
Brennan was, he would always just like, pow. He'd come out. And we're like, Rowan, just boom. He'd sit there and he would go to sleep, never move. First 4 months.
Hmm. I imagine as a parent, you'd prefer if a child would take to swaddling.
Oh, it was awesome.
Yeah.
I never got it. Are you?
But what about all your kids? They ever, like, a little swaddle?
No, I think we gave up on Brady. Just quit even trying. Just threw him in the crib.
Laid him there?
Yeah, he probably...
Hey, third born.
Resilient.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they... Oh, I know.
And then there was, like, a contraption that you made where it was, like, a lot of the swaddling was already done for you. You just put him in it and do, like, a Velcro thing.
Yes.
You remember that?
Yes. Because they'd have their feet like in a that can't get out, and then you would just Velcro them when they get a little older.
Man,
they're always trapped.
Yeah,
this podcast has really taken a turn. It's interesting. So to recap, I said carnitas. It's pork, by the way, pork carnitas. Jason said ground beef, and he likes it crispy or a swaddled soft taco shell. And what did you say?
Swap. I haven't said one yet. Okay. So mine is it's a hard shell.
Yep.
Or a crispy flour shell,
mm-hmm,
folded with chorizo and egg, like a breakfast taco.
You ever tried potato in that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
I'm sorry. A crispy taco is a hard shell.
But you can do crispy flour.
Yeah. So that means it's a flour that's
crisp.
It's not a hard shell.
No, it's crispy but soft.
I know. Yes.
Crispy flour.
Okay.
Not crispy like out of the... I don't like the ones that are like out of the box. Old El Paso come out. They're in plastic. They've been in plastic for 6 months.
Yes.
And they come out and you touch it and it disintegrates. Like the chair I sat in between podcasts.
Yeah.
It's still sitting out there. Ruck, can you just leave it for
it's
the next,
amazing
for
that
the,
I didn't
your
cut
family to come and just see.
They're going to wonder what kind of carnage happened. Yeah. Hey, Swap, that's a good call. That was an honorable mention for me. I thought about putting it in there. I probably should have replaced it with my number two. I think my number two is maybe a little higher rated than it should be, but boy, I tell you what, my number two is an El Pastor taco. And when I was in Mexico, I went to Mr. Taco just up the road from us. It was on the Mexican side of the city rather than the Canadian side of Mexico in Bucerías. And that was one of the best tacos I've ever had.
So Bucerías
is a city.
Where, like, so compared that, to, like, Mazatlan or Cancun?
It's
or
about 20 minutes north of, what's the one that's on the west coast down the way?
Cabo?
No, it's further south.
Not much help here.
Let's see. Mexican cities. See if Google can help me out more than you guys do. Puerto Vallarta. So it's like 20 minutes north of Puerto Vallarta.
Which I believe is roughly translated to the door of the Vallarta.
Sure. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I mean, isn't Puerto like door or opening then?
I think so.
And I don't know what Vallarta is. Vaya con Dios means go. So Vaya is probably a go, like,
It is the last name of an influential person.
Oh, okay.
So maybe it's like the door to being an influential person.
Okay. Anyways, yeah, an incredible taco. But if you don't know what an El Pastor taco is, it's that one that they show that's basically they've taken beef and they've put it into really thin strip. Or is it pork? It's pork, sorry. And they've made it really thin. They've marinated it, and then they've put it on a spit and stacked it up super high, and then it rotates on that spit, and they carve little chunks of that al pastor off, and then they have a pineapple sitting on top of it, and they cut a little pieces of that off. And if you have a good one, they make a real show of it because the guy has to reach up really high with a super long knife that's about 1 foot long, and it's above his head, and he just goes, that pineapple goes flying into the air, and he just catches it with the taco and then rolls it up for you. Oh. It was fantastic.
Does he, when he rolls it up, does he close the end?
He would never do something like that, something so sacrilege.
Oh, my God. So I won't do it next time.
I mean, live your life.
Just for you.
No. If you're happy that way, then don't change
it. Well, yeah, and then it'll just fall out.
Anyways, what's your number two?
My number two is a prawn taco.
Ooh, that's my number one.
Tacos de camarón.
So prawn tacos, I'll do them anyway, but I would do it like a nice saute, or even you can boil them.
You marinate them?
Yeah. And then 1 minute on the barbecue if we skewer them.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's all about the slaw.
Yeah.
And then I like a good tartar sauce. Ooh. Homemade.
On even, a taco?
Yeah. Even on a prawn. A little lime on top. Oh.
And this is soft shell?
This is...
Don't tell me crispy.
No, it's not. Soft shell, but like the little mini shells?
Yes.
That you can you just put on the...
Yeah, street taco. All these ones I'm eating are street tacos.
So street taco side, yes.
Yeah. That's my number one.
But fresh prawns that day.
Nice.
With a little like a butter garlic saute.
Ooh. So a little crumbled cheese on top is what my mom does.
Little fresco.
Queso fresco.
Yes.
But I love a little tartar on there, even just a little to get to my number one. That's why.
Okay.
So my number two is a fish taco, little white fish, whatever it might be. But the key is the slaw.
So do you prefer your fish to be fried or grilled or seared?
Grilled on a taco.
Okay. No breading.
Correct. Because I think the breading is too much taco itself.
Yeah. And, you know, at that point, you could argue it's pretty healthy.
Yeah.
Then you fry it, and then you can't have too many of those.
Healthy lifestyle.
Whereas you can have as many of those fish tacos that are grilled as you want. All right, my number one, and to remind myself what my number one is. What was my number one? Oh, yeah. Birria. You ever had a birria taco?
No.
Nope.
Birria is...
Birriat?
Birria. B-I-R-R-I-A. Is basically like a braised meat that's beef that's been stewing all day on the back of the stove. And you end up with this shredded beef that pulls apart. You put it on the taco, and then you've got a consomme that you can ladle out. A lot of people have these as quesabirria because they basically take that, they throw cheese in and griddle it on the stove or a flat top. So yeah, birria, if you want to go all the way, since we're doing different versions of tacos that some might argue are burritos, then I'll just call it a quesabirria because that's better. Some might call it a quesadilla, but I'm saying this is a taco. And then, yeah, you dip it in consomme. Definitely won't want to put onions and cilantro on that. Probably some lime juice. That is heavenly.
So it's a little bit like a French dip.
Yeah.
But a taco.
That's yeah. not a taco. You just said some people don't call it a taco.
Well, you could eat it as a taco. You okay. just wouldn't fry it like a quesadilla.
You just fold it.
Yeah, well, I'm being honest about my tacos. No. You'd fry the heck out of it if you wanted to make it a quesabirria. Then it's really tasty.
Fish taco, number one.
Yeah.
The fish that we catch all summer, and then just, like, we can do a little, it's different ways. Like, fry it, deep fry, even bake. And it's all about the slaw. Homemade slaw by grandma. And then her homemade tartar sauce is amazing. Still love the cilantro and a little bit. Little lime, little lemon. But it's all about the quantity of the fish in the taco.
So because we know you don't eat spicy stuff, are you not putting any salsa or hot sauce on this?
I am not. On mine.
How about a little lime crema?
I could do that, maybe. I mean, I will do all the hot stuff, but like I told you today, as soon as I smell it, I start sweating.
Swap, you said that your number one was the shrimp.
The shrimp prawn.
Yeah.
Camarones.
Anything you want to add to that?
No.
Okay.
Where do you get your shrimp?
I'll buy it. Or sometimes a friend of mine will drop it off.
Yeah, okay.
And if that happens, then I make tacos.
This summer, you're never buying shrimp.
Oh.
Just letting you know.
You guys
same
are cute.
With you, Ruck.
Adorable. Well, hey, I think that's it. We're at the end of our second and last episode out here at the Henning compound. It's been a great time out here. Hopefully all of you enjoyed us taking our show on the road. And in case you forget, remember, if we messed up anything, email us at theviewfromtherock@gmail.com. And reminder, you can find our podcast at anywhere you listen to your podcasts, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, and so on and so forth. Until next time.